Welcome to Fearless with Jason Whitlock. I am Jason Whitlock, your host. Welcome to this Saturday edition of Fearless with Jason Whitlock. And as we like to do on Saturday, we have a very special guest to help unpack an issue related to a topic we spent a lot of the week talking about. You guys have heard me, I believe, on Thursday's show. We started going into a deep dive on the Passport Bros. And that was an offshoot of the conversation we were having about the black community and our communities being dominated by single black women and single black women that want to be leaders in the community. And I think that was on Monday. And then Tuesday, Royce and I had a long conversation about the discord, the disconnect between the black man and the black woman in America. And I think I came back on Thursday and we took the song American Woman by Lenny Kravitz and the Canadian group, the Guess Who, and related that to this whole Passport Bros movement that is starting to get a lot of attention and a lot of pushback over social media. And we talked about it on Thursday. I wrote an article about it. And then on Friday, it's trending all over Twitter. And I got emails from people saying, like, hey, man, you really need to understand the history of this Passport Bros and even the whole manosphere. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but there's this manosphere over YouTube and among content creators of people that are pushing back against the attack on masculinity, and they call it the manosphere. And so between the manosphere, the Passport Bros, that's like where Kevin Samuels developed all of his popularity, talking about men and the relationship between black men and black women. And Kevin Samuels dies, and you know, right at when he was really, really starting to get traction, I used to tell people, I like, Kevin Samuels is going to end up being the next Steve Harvey. Unexpectedly dies. But yesterday I get emails like, if you really want to know the history, you got to talk to Al Greaves. Al Greaves is the godfather of all of this. And they said you got to go back and read this 2006 article in Essence magazine that talked about black men going to Brazil. And the article was kind of a hit job on these black men that went over to Brazil for a good time dating, treated like a trip to Las Vegas, or looking for a wife with more traditional values or a girlfriend with more traditional values. That article comes out, and I think that sparked, well, we'll let Al Greaves tell you what that sparked, but eventually Al Greaves has, I think, done three movies or documentaries about the relationship between black men and black women, and they're titled Frustrated. And so without further ado, let me bring Al Greaves in and let him explain for himself some of the history and what went on in 2006 with Essence magazine and what that sparked. Because Al, I was told that there were a group of you guys that in the early 2000s would go to Brazil, and that's kind of where all of this started.
First, I'd like to say thank you for having me on your platform, man. It's truly a blessing. Thank you for reaching out. I truly appreciate
that. Thanks for coming on.
It all started as just going on a vacation. I was a gym rat at the time, and I met a young guy that was in a motorcycle accident. And at that time, he didn't have insurance, so he saw me working out in the gym, didn't know what to do. And he asked me if I would help him, assist him in working out, because he said, I see you know what you're doing. And I told him, listen, man, I come here, we're going to work out, we don't have nothing to talk about. Put your music on and let's go to work. And after that 6 weeks, I wanted a break. And he recommended, he said, hey, man, go to Brazil. You want to take a break? Because I work hard 6 weeks and then I want to take a break. Let my body take a break. And he said, go to Brazil. And I said, okay, never been. And he recommended, he gave me some information of a gentleman by the name of John Thompson, who was from New York as well. I'm from New York City. He was from New York, and he was renting out apartments at the time. So if you needed a place to stay, John Thompson was the reference guy at that time. And I went, called John up, he hooked me up, booked the flight, had an awesome time. Me and my older brother went, great time. And I got back and went to D.C. My cousin lives in Washington, D.C. He throws this annual barbecue. out in Maryland. And I heard a gentleman speaking Portuguese. And I went over, I said, hey, man, are you Brazilian? And he said, no, I'm planning on going, but I took the language. His name is Dr. Larry Davis, intelligent guy, brilliant guy. And I said, man, I just got back from there. And he said, did you read that Essence article that was going on? And I said, no, I didn't. I'm not familiar with that. I don't read Essence. And he said, oh, man, you got to check this out. And I read the magazine. I read the article. I called him back up. I said, oh, this is trash. This is garbage. This is not what I just experienced. And he said, well, your cousin told me you're a filmmaker. Why don't you do something about it? And I said, you know what? I am. You're right. I am. So I went back again on my own to get to points of reference. And I met another gentleman by the name of Johnny Johnson, American guy who retired out there. And I met several guys, American guys that were retired out there. So I did some investigation, interviewed them, and told them that I was interested in doing a piece and would they like to be a part of it. Some agreed and bailed out at the end, but Johnny Johnson, stand-up guy, ex-police officer, he said, sure, man, come on back. And I came out there, to interview him and some other guys, and I ran across the Philadelphia firefighters. It was about 8 guys out there together, tripping. I said, hey, man, can I interview you about your experience and why you come out here? And that's when they shared that the put this delicate, I'm not familiar with your platform, so we'll keep it delicate, but some of the troubles they were having with women in the States, and they found it more soothing to deal with more traditional women abroad, especially Brazilian women. They were fit, they were friendly, easy to get along with. And they, you know, they said they, you know, preferred that in not dealing with women who were too masculine and kind of like pulling guards and tackles, you know, really didn't keep themselves up to shape, keep themselves up in shape. And we did the project, and I kind of sat on it a little bit. I said, maybe there's nothing here. And my older brother told me if I didn't release that product that, you know, he was going to do some physical harm to me. So I took it to a film festival out in Atlanta, went to Atlanta Film Festival, and the guy invited me out, knew the guy who was running it, and I showed him that, and it was cool. And then he gave me a weird time slot, an 8 o'clock in the morning time slot. And I said, hey, man, why you put me so early in the morning? He said, man, it wasn't me. It was the women that was involved that did this to you. I said, okay. I got up in the morning, went out there and worked it, invited guys in, and I saw a gentleman standing there. I said, listen, man, I'll be honest, if you come in and watch my film, I produced it, I directed it. And he said, what's the name of it? I said, Frustrated. And he came in, the documentary played, and they got up, and that's when it started. I knew I had something because the women were angry. And the gentleman stood up and said, brother, I want to thank you. This is really before the whole social media thing, but he said, I want to thank you for inviting me in here. I just booked my flight to Brazil while the movie was playing. I'm sorry I can't stay for the Q&A. I'm going to pack my bags right now. And he held up his phone and showed it and said, I'm out of here. Thank you, brother. I love you. And he took off. And then the discussion came in. Women were, well, if you don't make X amount of dollars, you're useless to me. And then they had some older women in there say, well, listen, I make twice as what my husband makes. And I've been married to him for 30 years. I cherish my husband. Wouldn't trade him in for nothing in the world. And the young lady stood up and she started crying, stating that she works in some corporate office and the UPS guy used to come there and she was attracted to him. And her girlfriends, they would say, well, you know, you don't want him. He wears, you know, brown. He don't make as much money as you. He doesn't have the social skills. You don't want him. But she would flirt with him all the time. And she did not pursue that relationship because the women there told her that gentleman was no good for her. And she broke down in tears and how that connected with her. And I released the film, and all of a sudden, it's people started purchasing the film, and some people started, you know, unfortunately started bootlegging.
What year is the release of the film?
I would say 2011, maybe 2010 or 11, and they started bootlegging the film.
Let me stop you for 1 second because I want to play a 2-minute trailer from Frustrated to give the audience a better taste of what you did and the work you did. Let's play the trailer.
Women are noticing that their men are crossing the borders to find happiness, romance, or even just somebody to have a good time, hang out with. I come to Brazil, I sit down at the table, I order food. Young lady places a drink in front of me, opens my straw, puts it in my glass, and I'm chilling. Doesn't make her less of a woman. Doesn't make me more of a man. She says that we have different roles in life, and she knows hers, and I know mine.
Several years ago, I read an article from Essence Magazine in regards to African-American men going to Brazil.
A number of articles since the Essence story.
The article was not pleasant at all. It was quite negative.
The article is racially motivated. To me, it's just another attack on the black man.
I feel in conversating with other guys who have friends you here, you should come here and experience what she has to offer Brazil.
People that write the article say that they don't understand why we come to this place or any other place from bias because they've never experienced it.
Every black man should come down one time before you be put in this earth to see how this culture treats you. It's heaven.
You don't want to come down to Rio. I said, because if you do, you're going to come back thinking, how can I get rid of her? You know, and I just said, I can't put it to you. I said, you married, and you love your wife, and you're satisfied. I said, don't come here.
You'd be looking for cheap sex with pretty girls. I think to a certain extent, you're almost like a predator.
They are nothing but lies, and they should not have been accepted by the black women. That article is to bridge the gap between you, and that's the reason that article came by.
It's not an issue until the black man starts doing it.
I agree.
So that's the trailer for the movie and the documentary. The Essence article had portrayed this as some sex trafficking trip that black men were taking. That frustrated you, and you wanted to do the movie or do the documentary to talk about, I would imagine, I'm speculating, but it seems to be hinting at some of the issues we've been talking about this week, is that the black woman has been participating in the emasculation of the black man. She's out of her traditional role. She's out of any type of helpmeet or any type of submissive role or allowing a man to be a leadership role here in America. And so you and other guys, like, they got a different culture in Brazil. It's great for men. Am I right and accurate in my description of what transpired?
Yes. And what happened was once I introduced the culture of Brazil, the film goes in more in depth than what the article did. The guy who, Dr. Jahani Cobb, who did the article.
Jelani Cobb, he's on MSNBC. Yeah.
Yeah, he actually said on.
Castrated. He's a eunuch. He's a eunuch. Go ahead.
Yes, he actually went on one city block. He went on one city block in front of the famous nightclub at the time was called Club Hell. And he sat right there and said, this is what these guys are doing. And that's it. And I knew at the time, Essence Magazine was owned by Time Warner at the time, that they had way more resources than I did. And I ventured out. I went to the neighboring cities and states and found brothers that were living there and that were married to women there, and they expressed their feelings about how women back in the States were difficult to deal with, being masculine and out of their traditional roles, and they came down to the States, to Rio, and found women that were in their traditional roles, and they were easy. It was like easy to get along with, easy for them to make that transition and marry them. So when I hear back here in the States, women ain't getting, black people are not getting married at such rate, get married, and they found out that they had to go elsewhere and find black women elsewhere to do so. Brazil has the largest African population outside of Africa. They have more Africans there than they have in the States. So they go by, you know, the Afro-Brazilian title, and they were easy to get along with, very friendly and feminine. They were real feminine, And that was one of the huge distinction here. Our women were too masculine, way too masculine, and not easy to get along with, not easy to deal with. So from sparking so that,
your movie captures black men not down in Brazil looking for white women. They're down in Brazil looking for black women.
Look, exactly. They were looking for black women. And the pushback I got was, well, you want other women. I'm like, what do you mean other women? There are black women there. They're dating black women there. And to move the story on a little bit from that and the whole YouTube in the beginning of that started coming on. So people were uploading it. And I was getting calls constantly. I'm like, you upload your movie on YouTube? I was like, no. And a gentleman by the name of Charles Tyler, he passed away, but he was inspired by that film, by Frustrated, and went, once again, found a black woman he fell in love with, came back and challenged black men to get their passports and to travel. And he formed the first first Facebook group called BMO, which stands for Black Man's Option. And that's the group that I'm associated with, Black Man's Option. He formed that group, got brothers to get their passport, got them to travel to Brazil. He started hosting an annual beach party, got brothers off the corner, got them out of the neighboring cities where they were scared to leave the States. And they came together, broke bread together, sat down together, networked together, and exposed them to what Brazil had to offer to them. And from that BMO group, guys started coming to Charles Tyler, asking him about, hey man, how can I do something like this? I want to put other groups together. So Frustrated is kind of like the tree, and the fruit from that tree came Black Man's Option, and then other groups started to form from there, and guys will go other places. We're taking guys to maybe Colombia, we're taking them to Thailand, taking them to the Philippines. And from there, that's when the whole Passport Bros got started. Now, I associate with Black Man's Option because we have leadership there. There's leadership there and there's structure there. There's black men that come together from all backgrounds, from different states, from law enforcement, the lawyers, entrepreneurs. We sit down, no matter where we travel to, we first sit down and break bread together. And we have the guys that first time out, we call them rookies. First time out, the rookies stand up, state their name, where they're from, and we introduce them to the vets. These are the veterans that have been out, so if you get into a little trouble situation, you can rely on the vets to help you. Passport Bros are kind of like free agents. They just go on their own. They go on their own and they just travel by themselves and try to make money off of, they make money off of YouTube, TikToks, but they just come in and just show you videos, show you fun stuff and make money and try to make money off of it, but they have no structure, no leadership there. And that's why the situation came over. The young guy got in the situation there, and they all just attacked him because Passport Bros don't have the leadership in place. And that's one of the things that I was discussing with other guys in the community. We need leadership because now young guys are getting inspired to travel at 23 and 24. BMO is kind of guys in their 40s that's world established, and these guys are going out by themselves, which I support 100%. I support any group, any individual telling black men to get out of here and travel and see the world. I support 100% wholeheartedly. Get out of here. Go see the world. Go see women, feminine women, and black women in different parts of the world and see how the setting and the culture there compare. And you can compare it back here to the States. And you see the wave now of black men leaving in droves. And they're starting to get younger in their 20s now. They're starting to get 23 now. And they figured out a way to work abroad since that pandemic. They found a way, well, I can work abroad now. And the money doesn't have to be that significant because of the exchange rate. Now I can live abroad and I can start my lifestyle at 23, where, you know, in the beginning, the BMO guys started a little later because that wasn't available, but the young men are taking advantage of it now.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
Al, walk me through a bit of your history in terms of where'd you grow up, where'd you go to college, what was your background in terms of dating, and what made you have an epiphany of like, hey man, it's hard. What I'm looking for just really isn't here in America. I got to expand my options. Walk us through that process.
Well, I'm born in New York City, in the Bronx, and I went to high school upstate New York in Amherst, New York. I lived with family members up there. Had an opportunity to get a good education in the suburbs, and I played football upstate, for the local high school team there. And a buddy of mine talked me into going to Arizona with him. I talked to the football coach in Arizona, went out to Arizona, not realizing playing in the cold in Buffalo and going to playing in 100 degree heat. I struggled a lot. And to the point where I had to leave. I wasn't performing up to standard, but I wasn't used to it. And my older brother, who was in the Navy, got out of the Navy, had just purchased a house in Atlanta and said, listen, man, you don't have to go back to New York City. You can come live with me in Atlanta, come to school in Atlanta. And I was signed up, wanted to play ball in Atlanta at Morris Brown. Talked to the coach at Morris Brown, and I got a job working at the DoubleTree Hotel in the gym, so I could work out for free while I worked. And I got introduced to all them. At that time, they had the Georgia Peaches, and all them beautiful black women, saturating all them beautiful black women. And I lost focus. So when the coach called me, "You ready?" I said, "Coach, I ain't gonna waste your time. I'm not gonna waste your time." And I just signed up to the local college and went there, and I got introduced to the Georgia Peaches. Now they're plums. They no more peaches. They got Georgia plums now. But at that time, and I went to school, was working and dating. And my older brother set me down. He said, listen, man, you need to focus. I see that you're having minor issues right now with women. I see you having minor issues. I could tell by the conversations you have on the phone. But the more you focus on yourself, and you'll find out that you'll get a better grade on women. So that was, and he traveled the world, and he said, "I've been in the Philippines, I've been all over Asia, in the Navy." So, man, don't invest so much here. Wait till you get a little bit older and you get some more experience under your belt. And being hard headed as a young man, I've gotten into a relationship, and it turned violent on me. It got violent where she became physical and aggressive, and it led to a bad situation where. Police were called, and they took us in. Charges were dropped against me because self-defense on myself was attacking me. And once again, my older brother, I'm fortunate that I had an older brother who set me down again and said, man, I'm trying to explain something to you because now you're putting your life in jeopardy. You're putting your life in jeopardy, especially with the domestic violence laws, how they can hinder you. As far as getting employment and stuff, you don't want that. I'm telling you, you don't want that. So I wind up taking an offer to move to Alaska. I was working for a financial company in Alaska. And one of my clients, I went to her house. She was in a car accident. So I was bringing her some paperwork to her house. And I saw all these scripts on the on a desk. And I asked her, I said, are you a producer or something? She says, no, I read for TriStar and Paramount Pictures. They send me the scripts out here and I read them. And I said, you know what? I always wanted to write one. She said, oh, you want to write one? I'll show you how to write one. And she took me through the whole process and she didn't charge me anything and said, if somebody ever asks you how to do it, pay it forward. I did. I wrote this beautiful script, went out to went to L.A., tried to shop it around, and I didn't have success. And I got disappointed, and I laid down. I remember I was in a hotel. I was down to maybe last $5 in my pocket. I was eating out of 7-Eleven. They're eating hot dogs for dinner, chips out of dinner. And I laid in the bed and I said, oh man, this ain't working. And my conscience and God spoke to me and said, listen, man, won't you go out and learn how to make them? I said, no, I don't know how to make no movies. He said, well, you didn't know how to write them. 6 months ago, you didn't know how to write them. Let's go. Let's get on out of here and I'll show you how to make them. And got out of there, went back to Atlanta, found a film school in the DC area, went there, learned how to make them, And I started, I got real excited and wanted to be productive. So I made some movies, they were awful. Some films, they were bad. But when this came about, a chance to do a film on this, and I had the funds to do it, I said, you know what? Let's do this. And I did it. And that's how frustrated I got about. But as far as my relationship and women, I'm going to tell you, my high school sweetheart at the time, I dated an Italian chick, and she took great care of me. And to the fact that even I was on the basketball team, she would bring me food because the varsity team played late. She would make sure, hey, baby, here's some food. And the coach would be like, don't be eating that. You're not going to be able to run up and down the court either. Don't bring him no food. She took great care of me. It was my high school sweetheart. And I got exposed to that. And then, but I had a strong attraction towards black women. When I went to Atlanta, I seen all them peaches. And I said, oh, I got to get my hands on them. But I come from a two-family home. So I saw my father, what my father meant to my mother. And I see what my mother meant to my father. I was raised in a two-family home. And my father provided, I'm the youngest out of seven kids. And I seen my father work 6 days, 7 days a week to provide for his family. And didn't want to take days off and would watch football with us and then get up and go to work. So I was looking for that and I wasn't finding that. I wasn't finding that in Georgia. And I said, wow, I'm struggling. But moving forward, when I started making these projects and I started getting introduced to foreign women and traditional values, with traditional values and with the femininity was big for me because I wasn't coming in contact with feminine women. I was coming more in contact with masculine women who, if they didn't get their way, felt that they could put their hands on you. They can challenge you in certain ways. If you said no to something, that didn't suffice in them, what the hell, they wouldn't put their hands on you. But when I got introduced to traveling, I didn't get that. If I had food on my mouth, she would get the napkin and wipe my mouth and nurture me and kiss me. Thank you, baby. When I went to Thailand, I took a young lady out to eat. She would not touch her food until I got my food and I took the first bite. And you struggle with the menu a little bit. And she got her food. I said, why are you not eating, baby? She said, I can't touch my food until you touch yours first. I said, what? She said, you bought me food. You bought me dinner. The least I could do is wait till you get yours. So, I got mine. Being the youngest out of seven, if you didn't eat fast at my house, my older brothers, I got four older brothers, they go on your plate, take your food. So, I eat fast. I develop eating fast. And she would, I was eating it, and she pushed her plate towards me, and you want mine? I said, no, I don't want your food. She said, no, if you want, you can take mine. You can take mine if you want more. And so, I started getting introduced to that, and then traveling with groups of brothers. So we experienced that all at the same time. So to see the joy on these brother faces, and I see why the movement is moving so fast and is getting to the younger guys now who turn on YouTube and hear these stories and said, you know what? I'm not going to deal with this. I'm going to go overseas and see what these guys are talking about overseas.
Al, thank you so much. I needed that background. I'm glad you made some time for us today. I had no idea, because literally I just heard about the Passport Bros this week, and was like, well, let me look in, did some research, and then someone said, now you got to go to the root. And so we've done that, and now I feel far more educated about what this whole thing is about, and I'm going to dust off my passport.
Well, passport. I tell you, I had a good friend of mine, big guy, a dark skinned guy, big guy, and when we went to Thailand, the people ran out of the malls like he was LeBron James. You thought Michael Jordan or something was in town. They love black men there. Black men. They told me I wasn't black enough. They said, you too light. But your friend, they told me I wasn't black enough. But your friend, he was treated like a god there. And they wanted to take pictures of him. The men would fight with their wives. Take the camera. Let me take a picture with him. Baby, no, my turn. I seen it in the mall. They were treated like rock stars. And the darker you are. And he said, man, you know what? Back in the States, I get ridiculed for being for my skin tone. Here, I get ridiculed by women calling me, you know, you black so-and-so. So here, they love me for my skin color. They love me. And brothers are starting to experience that. Now, we won't see the effect, the true effect of this, until the next maybe 10 or 15 years. When these women deal with this, the mindset they have, the entitlement, no lack of accountability. So what, I got three or four kids by three or four different men. You're supposed to take me the way I am. So what if I'm not feminine, I'm masculine? You got to take me, accept me the way I am. And what you see now is them peeking in. They're starting to peek in the Passport Bro movement. They start to peek in at BMO and start to single guys out. But BMO, Black Man's Options, is more solid because we have leadership. We have good guys in place. And the Passport Bros are kind of, like I said, free agency. They're out there by themselves, so they're easy to get picked off one at a time, because they'll isolate one incident with one individual and try to classify all of us that way, which is not true.
Well, I got an adopted son that he swears by Filipinos. He's married or lives with one, and has been telling me forever, like, you gotta get you a Filipino woman. You gotta get you a Filipino. They know how to take care of you. So.
Well, you know already, Jason. You know you got your son. He's already telling you. You know already. Your son is at home, and it's starting at home with your son. And the word has got out, man. And I tell you, I had a friend, my best friend from high school. I told him, I said, listen, because he was going through a bad relationship back at home. I said, man, listen, come with me to Brazil. I want you to experience some joy. Just come with me to Brazil, man. And he got on, sorry, man, I don't want to fly out. Just come on. We went. When it was time to leave, I said, you know, I got the driver downstairs. We got to go. And he was just standing there. And I said, hey, man, come on, let's go. And he yelled at me. I said, wait, what's going on? And I looked, man, and tears came out of his eyes. He started crying, man. He said, I don't want to leave, man. I have not experienced something like this. I don't want to leave. I've seen men cry. The joy. And then the disappointment, knowing that they have to go back and break down in tears and saying, man, something's got to change. I can't live like this back in the States. I refuse to live like this.
Well, I've been saying for years, I'll get into, when I was younger, I get into a relationship and you just don't want to be challenged. Yeah, I really don't. I got a career that's challenging. When I come home, I want peace. I don't want to be challenged. That's no fun for me. That's not. I got enough iron out there sharper than me.
Well, it depends on how you're going to challenge me. Now, if you challenge me physically, that's not going to work. That's not going to work at all. If you're going to be supportive of me, challenge me to do better for us as a whole. That may work in a certain way. It depends on how you come at. But that's when femininity comes in. If your woman is feminine, and she knows how to relax you and calm you and come at you, see, I can give it the world. And most men will tell you, this my woman, I'll kill you over this. Don't come here. No knock on my door. No man knock on my door, because they got something that's priceless in a man home. But when you got a woman that feels that she can challenge you and put your hands on you and challenge you in certain ways and challenge your manhood, that's not going to work, Jason. That's not going to work. And that's what I try to explain.
Thank you for the time.
Yes, man.
Thank you for the time. Anytime. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you so much. That's our Saturday edition of Fearless. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm going to go home and dust off my passport and start looking at my globe and just spin my globe and wet my finger and find a place on the map on the globe I want to go. No, I'm just joking. Anyway, that's tomorrow. We'll see you on Tuesday. I got a little road trip. I got to go do an interview down in Florida. So I'll see you on Tuesday. Sitting on a corner, never been alone, I'm breaking my back for freedom. Blessed, we are living, get back, we are receiving, all deceiving, we all wanna be free. We want freedom. I just wanna be, I just wanna be, I just wanna be, I just